For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the second reading from Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 25. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away very sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked round and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
I'm just going to pray for Claire before she speaks to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Claire. We thank you for the passion that you have given her for helping children in poverty. Lord, I pray that you would speak through her to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Lovely to be back with you. Actually, we're trying to work out how long ago it was that I was last here. Can anybody remember? I know that a number of you sponsored children at that time. Was it 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago? Two and a half-ish, something like that. But it's great to be with you this morning as well, further on into the HG 1000 campaign and celebrating what's been achieved through churches working together across Harrogate. You'll remember that the idea of HG 1000 was to buy 1,000 water filters to supply clean water to families in the developing world. We have reached that target already, 1,000 water filters funded by people in this church. Hey! Not just in this church, churches across Harrogate. That would have been really good, wouldn't it? But another part of the campaign is to see 1,000 children sponsored by people across the Harrogate area and given a new hope in life, for this life and for eternity, through people sponsoring them, children who are desperately needy. We're looking to see 1,000 children sponsored, and we are now on 787 children sponsored just by people in this area. Isn't that an amazing thing that you're doing? Put your hand up if you're sponsoring a child. That's a lot of you. That's just so great to see, you know, the difference that you're making just because you've chosen to sponsor a child and step into their life is the difference for some of the world's most needy children having life in all its fullness, a good life that God intended for all people, or a life of complete destitution and a life of abject poverty. That's the difference that you're making just because you have chosen to get involved. And life, you know, is full of choice. Just think of the choices that you've made already this morning. You've chosen whether to get out of bed this morning. You probably chose to have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee before you got out of bed. Thankfully, you've all chosen to come to church this morning, otherwise it would be a bit lonely for me standing here speaking to empty seats. Life is full of choice. I need my clicker, sorry. Life is full of choice. And you know, the Bible is full of stories of people having to make choices. People choosing whether to do things God's way or to do things their own way. Adam and Eve, in the first instance, had to make choices. Here's Joshua speaking to the Israelites. They had to make choices. People like Jonah had to make choices. The first disciples had to make choices. The Apostle Paul had to make choices. Jesus himself had to make choices. Most of them, as we know, chose to do the right thing in accordance with God's will. And some of them chose not to do things in accordance with God's will. And the consequences of people choosing not to do things in accordance with God's will actually are huge, because his will for us is perfect and it's the way that we're all meant to be. But God gives us choice, you know, all the time, whether to be in relationship with him, whether to live our lives his way and not our own way. We heard in the reading that God's plans for us are perfect. They're good and they're just. He has plans for us to prosper and not to harm us. Honestly, I don't know why we fight against his will for us. Do you? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? We even get to choose whether or not we follow Jesus and the extent to which we're prepared to follow Jesus and allow him to change our lives. Compassion, you'll know, is a Christian child development organisation that works to release some of the world's poorest children from poverty in Jesus' name and provide a good life for some of the world's poorest children, currently supporting 1.9 million children around the world. But does anybody know what compassion actually means? The word compassion. Anybody? Yes? To act with feeling. Yes? Anybody else?
With passion.
Yeah, and to act with passion. It is, actually. It's all about, here's the official, I don't know if it is the Oxford English Dictionary definition, but the official definition is basically seeing a need, feeling compassion for somebody's predicament, situation, coupled with a strong desire to do something about it. Basically, you see a need, but are you motivated and willing to do something, to act? That's compassion. And compassion as an organisation enables us to act in response to the needs of some of the world's poorest children. And many of you have chosen to do that. Thank you. As we heard earlier, children born into extreme poverty have no choice at all. One in seven people in the world today living in extreme poverty. That means they're struggling to survive on about £1.50 a day, or even less. 400 million children living in those sorts of circumstances. Real children who have nothing just because of where they happen to have been born. And poverty isn't just a lack of material things and possessions. You know, all the stuff that we said in our house, food, clean water, shelter. It is a lack of those things, but ultimately it's a lack of choice and a lack of opportunity. Children born into those circumstances don't get to choose how they live their lives, what they're going to eat for breakfast, what clothes they're going to put on in a particular morning. They don't get to choose what kind of futures they're going to have, because they'll never get any kind of education. They've got no opportunity, no hope of ever having a life different from the one that they're born into. Poverty is a lack of choice. Is it fair? Is it fair that they have to live like that when we here have so much? Do you know, according to the Global Rich List, and you can check this when you get home, you might be interested to check this, if you have an income of £18,000 a year, you're in the top 2% of earners in the world. If you have an income of £25,000 a year or more, you're in the top 1% of earners in the world. Meanwhile, one in seven people in the world today are living in the most absolutely awful circumstances. Good news, of course, is that we can choose to do something about this, to have compassion, to show compassion. God didn't intend an unjust world, did he? I'm not telling you anything that you don't know here. The Bible is absolutely full of this stuff. God's goodness, God's heart for the poor, God's heart for justice. 2,000 verses in the Bible about poverty and injustice. This is God's heart. This is his nature. God calls us to love because he is love. He calls us to seek justice because he is just. He calls us to be compassionate because he is compassionate. And he calls us to be generous because he is generous. Not as a hardship for us. It's not meant, not a duty or an obligation. But it's because we're his children. And this is what he's like. And therefore this is what we're meant to be like. I'm just going to read you a short passage from Jeremiah 22. This is what Jeremiah, God is saying through Jeremiah about King Josiah. This is what it says. Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? That's all the wealth and stuff that we have. Did not your father, that's King Josiah, have food and drink? He did what was right and just, so all went well with him. He defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? God's saying here that when we look after the poor and the marginalised, this is what it means to know God, because this is what God is like. And that's what we're meant to be like as well, as his children. Compassion, of course, is just one organisation that makes it really easy for each one of us here, normal, everyday Christians, to respond to the needs of some of the world's poorest children and actually put all this stuff into practice. Because of your support through sponsoring the children that you're sponsoring, a church near them can provide them with everything that they need to have a life free of poverty and to break out of the circumstances that they're born into. Through their church, they will get an education that they wouldn't otherwise get, access to healthcare, medical care, dental care, the whole works. They'll get vocational training, a whole load of social and emotional care and support. They're all taught their worth in Jesus. They're taught the gospel and encouraged to follow Jesus for themselves. Can you imagine the importance of that and the difference that that makes in a child's life? Just because of our support. I'm expecting several hallelujahs here. We got almost none from the first service. But just listen to this statistic. Last year, 158,000 children became Christians through the work of compassion. We're going to do that. No. I will, however, give you a second chance because that was poor. With a capital P. Last year alone, 158,000 children became Christians through the work of compassion. Isn't it amazing? You know, is God working through this organisation? He is, you know, through the worldwide church, changing the world with the love of Jesus. Anyone would think, wouldn't they, that this is how it was intended to be? You know, God's people, his church, choosing to do what he chooses for us rather than choosing to do our own thing, our own way. It's what we're made for. It's for our benefit. But actually, God doesn't force us to do any of this stuff. God doesn't force us to do anything. You know, God doesn't even force our salvation on us. And God wants all men and women to be saved, yes. But you read in Revelation 3:20 that Jesus is standing, knocking at the door of our lives, asking if we'll open the door and let him in. He's not forcing the door down. We have that choice. It's a bit scary, isn't it? Actually, the fact that so much hangs on what we choose to do. But we get to choose whether or not we live in relationship with God. whether we choose, whether we do what he calls us to do or not. And it's fairly clear in the Bible the things that we're called to do. We get to choose whether to live according to his plans for our lives, which are all for our benefit. But he doesn't force any of this stuff on us. The wonderful story of the rich young man that we heard earlier. This story isn't just about money. Really, it's about choice. It's about choices as to how we live our lives, where our priorities are, where our worth is, where our treasure is. Is our treasure in ourselves, or our worth and our wealth, or is it in knowing Jesus and doing God's will? Do you treasure that? Do you treasure knowing Jesus and doing God's will? Do you treasure that? We have to ask ourselves this question. It's really important, you know, because we're not treasuring that. Our treasure is somewhere else. I love this story, you know, that we read earlier about the rich young man. It says Jesus loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I don't think we get a clearer picture of God's love for us than in those words. He looked at him and he loved him. He told him that just keeping the commandments wasn't good enough. He said you need to give to the poor, then come, follow me, and you will have treasures in heaven. But he let him walk away. He let him walk away. He didn't say, no, stop, you know, please come back, I'll make it easier for you, or please, you haven't quite understood what I'm saying. He let this young man walk away, even though doing what Jesus said obviously would have been a blessing for him. His salvation depended on it in this story. He would have had treasures in heaven, eternal treasures, a closer walk with Jesus. Jesus didn't stop him from making the wrong choice, and he doesn't force us to make the right choice either. We get to choose. It's terrifying, isn't it? Don't you think? But also, this is our God, a God who loves us so much that he doesn't want to force himself and his way on us. He wants us to choose to be in relationship with him. These are just some of the children who are sponsored by people in this church. Can you see your children, those of you who are sponsoring? They're probably not all on there, so I apologise if I've missed yours off. But when you sponsor a child through Compassion, you're responding to God's call to his heart to share his love and compassion in a very practical and a very personal way. And many of you are already doing that. Thank you so much for the difference that you're making. When you see a picture of your sponsored child, those of you who are sponsoring, does it not fill your heart with joy to look at that picture and know that you are changing that child's life forever? It does me, you know, when I look at the picture of my sponsored children, I think, I'm doing that. Me, you know, and I don't do much, really. But I'm changing a child's life forever, and I'm part of that, you know. And obviously it's a blessing for the children that we sponsor because they get everything that they need to be released from poverty. But it's a blessing for us as well because each child has one sponsor. If you're sponsoring a child, you're their only sponsor, and you actually get to be involved in changing their life and involved in their development, being able to get to know them through exchanging letters with them, sending them words of love and encouragement, telling a child that they matter, that somebody cares about them, that you care about them. Imagine being able to do that for a child who has nothing. We can invest such words of love and hope into the lives of our sponsored children. And that's what you're doing. And it's an absolutely amazing thing that you're doing. The blessings and the rewards of that will be absolutely eternal. I was going to say I can guarantee it, but then I'm thinking, should I be saying I can guarantee that those rewards will be eternal? Is that not what the Bible says? I believe it is. You know, Yeah, so something that you can choose to do today as well. If you're not already sponsoring a child and would like to do so, you have that opportunity today. I've got a little bundle of children here who are waiting for sponsors. If you are already sponsoring a child, feel free as well to maybe come and do another one if you can stretch to do another one. I'll just introduce you to a couple of them. They're all desperately needy children, all waiting for somebody to say, I care about you, I care about what happens in your life. Little boy Ronald from Bolivia lives with his mother and his sister. They work in construction work. He likes playing hide and seek and marbles. He's going to school with the support of Compassion, and his favourite subject is music. The thing with children in Bolivia is that, you know, as well as the normal consequences of abject poverty, they're exposed to so much risk of abuse, exploitation. Really, children in those circumstances have no option but to go into gangs, drugs, crime, violence. Without our help, that's his future. Little girl from Kenya, waiting for a sponsor, all dressed up nicely for her photograph in the hope that somebody nice will choose to sponsor her. Again, lives with her mother and her sister, who work as day labourers. In that part of Kenya, they'll probably earn the equivalent of about £5 a month. That's what it's like. She enjoys dancing, and she likes playing with dolls. Her favourite subject when she goes to school is maths. So clearly you can tell, for 4 years old, she's a very clever little girl. Can't you? These are the other children. And for a relatively small amount of money, it costs just £25 a month to sponsor a child, just over £5 a week, significantly less than £1 a day. You can sponsor one of these children and radically, radically change their lives. That's something that you can choose to do today. If it's something that you're interested in and you feel God is moving you to do this, come and talk to me and Pete, my husband, after the service. We'll be out there. But every day, God gives us opportunities to do things that are right, to do things his way, that draws closer to him and enable us to show his love and his compassion in our lives. This is just one of the things that you can choose to do, sponsoring a child. God doesn't force us to do any of this, even though the blessings of doing it are phenomenal and eternal. God doesn't force us to do this. It's entirely our choice. So come and have a talk with us after the service if it's something that you would like to do. The impact of the decision that we make for these children and for ourselves today is huge, and it's eternal. We're going to finish by watching a short video that shows the impact that our choices have and the difference that we make in the lives of these children. And just to finish by saying thank you so much for your involvement in this work, not just the work of Compassion through the HG1000 campaign, but your partnership with churches all across the world, you know, which is enabling you here at St Andrew's Stabekk to have a worldwide impact with the love of Jesus. It's an amazing thing that you're doing. Thank you very much.